Balls? Not ringing any bells.
All right. So, the idea, cutting straight to the chase, the idea I had earlier was basically just, you know, an Indiana Jones type thing.
Oh, you don't want to cut out 20 minutes of rambling?
Oh, I'm on a schedule today.
Okay.
And I thought usual Indiana Jones vibes, some American dude goes to the Middle East and then has to fight people. Maybe we do 1940s Indiana Jones, but that would just be Indiana Jones.
It was just Indiana Jones.
And then I thought, Indiana Jones in space. And then...
You skipped over Indiana Jones Today, you know, that Uncharted movie that they are currently about to put out.
Yeah, direct competitors. But thinking Indiana Jones in space, I think I said that to you, Matthew.
Yes.
And then you said immediately, like, oh, like Dr. Aphra. And I was like, what?
Yeah, we brought a Matthew.
If you want to give a quick summary of what Dr. Aphra is, not necessarily the story, but, like, vibes.
Nothing. Yes. What's Aphra with you?
Yes, back from Ratatouille 2. made my triumphant return.
Did we not call that Ratatouille?
No. Right. Deliberately. We talked about it.
Right, yeah, that's right. And it was too Ratatouille. Obvious.
It was too painful.
Anyway, yeah, Dr. Aphra is a Star Wars comic line. She started in... one of the Vader comics, I think it's the 2015 run. But essentially, she's kind of like an Indiana Jones type. She has, I mean, assume her PhD. That's why she's Dr. Aphra. And she just goes around on adventures that are loosely related to finding significant artifacts. And it's a lot about kind of her emotional journey there. And it's all set in space, so... it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's very Indiana Jones-esque.
Holy cow, that's Indiana Jones all over.
Yeah. But in space.
I'm spelunking for diamonds and ancient artifacts. Oh, but it also gets a little silly, a little wacky. Oh, I also grapple with emotional turmoil and keep my romantic interests at arm's length.
There's external forces like space Nazis to contend with.
There you go.
Yeah. This is the Star Wars fanfic podcast now.
Yeah, I mean, in 23 episodes, yeah. This is our third Star Wars themed episode.
Well, I mean, we don't necessarily have to.
We've done three Star Wars episodes? Oh, yeah.
We did KOTOR, we did The Very Last Jedi, and then there's this one.
Wasn't The Very Last Jedi our previous episode?
Ah, crap. Okay. Whatever.
Well, this is the Star Wars fanfic podcast now.
I mean, do we want to do, like, an actual Dr. Aphra thing, or do we want to do, like, just... Like back to the just space Indiana Jones.
Well, he does, and I have no thoughts of my own, so.
I don't know. What do y'all want to do?
I really thought we were going to do something similar. We were doing space Indiana Jones in a self-contained project. So space Indiana Jones finds the sidekick and learns that maybe the real treasure is the friends we've made along the way. And also fighting space Nazis, because it's not good to be super cynical. You have to believe in something.
All right, roll the outro music. We did it. The story is tapped.
Cool.
What do you all think?
I feel like I just expressed what I thought.
We could do Indiana Jones in space. So your vote is just Indiana Jones. IP Indiana Jones.
My vote is
in
like
space.
An Indiana Jones, Dr. Aphra type character in space.
Okay. So we're doing an original IP, but it's not basically going to be Dr. Aphra, but Dr. Aphra will be a very valuable resource to pull from. So we're doing Indiana Jones in space. So, like, Pluto Jones.
Pluto Jones.
Or Europa Jones. I don't know.
Uranus Jones.
I mean, like, Jupiter. Jupiter. We're doing Jupiter, all right?
All right.
That's a planet somebody... Mars or Jupiter, maybe Venus. Actually, you could be named after a lot of planets. Mercury, pretty much all of them except Pluto and Uranus. Why did you start there?
Pluto Jones
is another great example. You're just...
okay.
Not to mention any number of moons.
Yeah, Europa Jones. I said Europa Jones.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Okay, anyway. So... let's just world build it a little bit first. Do we want to go...
Is Jupiter Jones a comic book character?
I wouldn't be surprised. If
somebody Google it and find my cell phone number. I'm very confident in the internet.
Jupiter Jones. Osmosis Jones. We could... let's world build for a little bit. What is the scale we're dealing with? Are we staying within the solar system?
I was going to say solar system, but that would imply that there's, like, stuff in the solar system. Yeah. Like, how about humanity? Like, we are the next galaxy over.
Yeah.
Humanity's been kicking around space for a couple of hundred years, and we've made it a galaxy or two over, and we've met some aliens. We're like, woo, aliens, and we got over that pretty quick, because we can become disillusioned with anything, and, but aliens are sort of remnants of older civilizations.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, forgotten technology and relics and stuff.
Okay.
Perfect for a scrappy archaeologist to be kicking around and doing research and making a little bit of money.
Exactly. Now, I want to keep true to the earlier Indiana Jones kind of stuff, where, like, he is a badass. Our protagonist is a badass, but, like, not an expert. So I don't want there to be, like, you know, laser blasters solving all of our problems. I want there to be the equivalent of, like, an Indiana Jones car chase, just with space stuff. It's not like, oh, bad guys, pew pew,
we're good. Indiana Jones wasn't a spy. Then I feel like a good way to handle that, Indiana Jones was a badass, but he was kind of, you know, he was an egghead first and a badass second.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, he would know all sorts of space stuff.
Yeah.
Instead of archaeology. Cool stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So we got a space archaeologist. I think that presents like a good opportunity for a partnership. And there's a pilot.
Mm.
You team up with a pilot because you're like, you're going to this part of space that's not super familiar. It's not well charted. It's not well explored. You need somebody who really knows that area. So I feel like there's a good opportunity to give our character this like mid-level badassery. And that is to make them a draftee in a recent war.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Space war.
Not exactly the muscle, but yeah,
but they taught you to do stuff. They taught you to shoot. They taught you to fly around like this, and you know your way around this kind of thing.
Very cool. All right. You said earlier.
Like, I got my PhD. The war's been over for a while. I got my PhD. I'm doing this now.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier aliens ancient. Are there any alien characters? Are we open to that possibility?
I am open to that possibility. I feel like making the pilot an alien or meeting an alien, there's an alien, a key supporting character is an alien.
Okay.
Feels relevant.
Good. I hope we're open to it. Because I will not take no for an answer. No, it's just that part of what made old Indiana Jones so fun was the bad guys were Nazis. We're not going to try and redeem anybody.
Yeah.
They are the bad guys.
Yeah.
So it's easy to make bad guys out of, you know, an alien race. Mm-hmm. It's just pick one that's fascist and go. So.
Okay, yeah.
How about in the next galaxy over? What are the times like? Is it war or is it like Empire resistance kind of situation?
Well, if it's if he's going to be a draftee, then, or he or she, our protagonist.
I thought we were sticking with the Dr. Afra.
Okay, yeah, we'll call it
thing. In my head, and what Alec wants is very important on this podcast.
Placeholder name will be Dr. Afra.
Okay, cool.
So if Dr. Afra's going to be, I guess, a veteran of this war. I mean, if it's right after the war, then I think that makes it into more of a lawless kind of, it's like, oh, the people who won are kind of rebuilding. Now there's kind of an uneasy peace where people are still kind of on edge.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also opens the door for them to kind of go, not wherever they want without question, but, you know, there's not people looking for them all the time. It's just kind of
very
just
modular obstacles for us. Yeah. Like, and there's something in the way because the plot dictates it.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's a meteor shower.
And so I'm slowly forming Afra Jones in my mind right now, Indie Afra Jones. And right now I'm thinking, you know, cold, hard, grizzled, but with a heart of gold. How, you know, it's sort of lawless. Things are not war-torn, but, you know, unstructured.
It's a reconstruction period.
Reconstruction period. Exactly. And she's sort of like, I don't care who's in charge. There is no, like, bad or good government. There's just the next one. So I don't care when these things happen. And then she sees fascism, and then she punches people.
Yeah.
She's like, I still believe what I said earlier. Okay. Now that we've got a pretty solid grasp on character and world, let's start deciding plot points, as you know.
Okay,
what we usually do for the majority of the podcast.
All right, so do we begin kind of in process and establish this day-to-day for Dr. Aphra, like this some treasure hunting shenanigans? Do we begin with that?
I feel like we would have to. First scene in the first Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Or, like, thinking Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
I've been hired. Are we thinking for hire or... Dr. Aphra needs to goes into the alien temple, dodges a couple of traps,
narrowly escapes
with her trusty prop device, which is the ideal prop for this specific situation, with her, I don't know, her maglev jump boots.
Yeah.
You know, that thing.
Something that comes
has.
Back later.
Something that comes back later.
I dig it.
With the come back later device.
Anti-grav boots is always fun.
It's always fun. It seems very appropriate thing. For this kind of character.
Hell yeah.
Floats over a thing, jumps through something really fast, kicks off some alien rat bat creatures.
Hell yeah.
Gets to the thing in the middle.
Which does not matter.
Which does not matter.
Alien skull.
Yeah.
Skull with a gem in it.
Puts it in a bag. Dr. Fascist arrives.
With his German accent in tow.
Yes. We came up with fascism after watching some of your movies.
Yeah.
And I love the voice.
Oh, I love the World War II in color.
Yeah. Like, okay. You know, there's not a lot of sound in those. Shut up. there's a little kerfuffle. This guy brought his own people to do the heavy lifting for him. It's like, what a loser. And then there's some shooting, and she jumps away after they take her bag. But he opens the bag, and it's full of rocks.
Sure.
Yeah.
She's so crafty. So resourceful.
Dr. Aphra escapes. With the idol of Hitchcock MacGuffin.
Yeah. And Hitchcock MacGuffin, my favorite historical figure.
She brings it back to the... I guess the question is, how do we want to establish her? Is she an academic, or is she kind of a mercenary treasure hunter?
Expert? What was Dr. Aphra's from the Star Wars comic book, in case I edit that part out for time? What was her sort of daily life, day job, 9 to 5?
I'm pretty sure she, like, worked at a university, like she was a, like, academic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Professor type?
No, like she's like a young academic who's still very, like, adventurous, kind of got, like...
Oh, like student?
That's
or
that's what
curator?
When we say professor type, we mean, like, an educator or researcher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, okay, yes, so she's a professor type?
Like,
yeah, well, yeah, but she doesn't teach. I don't think she ever...
That's still teaches. An academic.
But yeah. Okay. I'm pretty sure she's tied to a academic institution.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. Researches, goes out, finds stuff, writes a paper, presents at a conference, goes out, finds more stuff.
Yeah.
Lives dangerously and beds mysterious people of indeterminate gender.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It's everything. I don't know.
We are empowering.
We're empowering through vagueness.
2.5 white men.
Would it be interesting for her to do a... It's always, you know, the hero goes and finds the thing and then the person comes and takes it at the end.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
If she just tries to take it at the end, and we establish her as less of an honest academic and more of a, like...
There's a bit of scoundreling here.
Yeah.
So is that her plan from the start?
Or just like in an introduction of, like, you show, you know, someone going through the same rigmarole, and then Dr. Aphra shows up.
Yeah.
And takes it, and then you stay with her. And it's like,
that would be pretty funny.
That's right. Hang on, you might edit this part out, but Eric, are you the one who sent me the every I'll be taking that scene?
Not so fast.
It's not so fast.
I'll be taking that.
Right, I'm sorry, I just thought, it's like, what if she shows up to take it from someone, and then the bad guys show up to take it from them? Just like, all right. Not so fast.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. Oh, and then maybe she does end up with the thing. She's everybody else is an alien, and then this is their first time, but she's seen Indiana Jones like 50 times.
Yeah.
So, when we see, the first thing we see is some young, scrappy, cool, lithe spelunker take this artifact and escape, and then it's not so fast. That's our protagonist taking it, and then there's a, not so fast. And then she's like, oh, okay, you got me, but she knew that was coming too, so she walks away with the thing.
And he gives him a bag full of rocks.
Yeah, and he gets a bag of rocks.
Or a bag with a big rock in it.
And the scrappy one gets nothing, because she's new.
That's sad. Sad for you.
Wah, cry about it. Okay, so that's sort of, she is a more...
Ends-oriented person.
She's a more ends-oriented Indiana Jones.
Yeah, she's a... Any of y'all seen... I think it's the... I forget who's in it, but it's the Oklahoma Kid. Is the phrase... the strong take from the weak and the smart take from the strong.
Oh, damn. Hmm.
Yeah.
Bars.
Right?
The okay kid.
Huh. Yeah, he's an okay kid.
The Oklahoma Cagney. Kid. He's okay.
It's James Cagney.
So, now that we are, like, 15 to 20 minutes in, let's decide any plot points.
I'm sorry, were we not settled on... Alright, so she goes back to, after morally dubiously taking this stuff, she goes back to Space University. The only university in space. They say, it's like, hey, would you do something morally ambiguous to get this? And she's like, you know it. And they'll be like, no, we don't, because then we couldn't keep it. Because we have ethics and stuff. And he's like, alright, fine, whatever, give me my money.
Okay.
And it's like, and he's like, we don't have money. It's like, tenure, I don't know, I'm doing this for something, though.
Okay, so now I'm starting to get the vibe, and I've written this story like 50 times. She kind of, does she not necessarily work under the bad guys, but maybe she does jobs for the bad guys?
I think.
On occasion?
I think having it framed as kind of ambiguous. Now, it's me, so I'm going to try and kind of make this vaguely applicable, if not outright an analogy for something. But, you know, in the real world, this is pretty dubious stuff. Like, collectors do not ask where stuff comes from.
Oh, yo, that could be her character arc. That she always is the more means... or ends justify the means type of Indiana Jones, and her character arc is that she's like, whole, you know, it's not, it belongs in a museum, it's, it belongs where we fucking found it.
Yeah, that's, I like that.
That's pretty solid.
It's like, this is a space weapon.
Yeah.
Which you got me to take out of a place where it was pretty safe. From almost anyone but me.
Well, I meant like it belongs with the native people.
Yeah, it belongs to the people who built it.
Yeah.
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 Just like our old episode, the Muppets Maltese Chicken.
Okay.
For real.
Yeah, the Muppets Maltese Chicken was a heater of an episode.
We did that.
Okay, I'm cooking up another heater of an episode right now.
Yeah.
Here we go. So the whole time we have two people competing to for Dr. Aphra's sort of loyalty. One comes through with just a chunk of change and is like, get this thing for us. And she goes off, and plot points to be decided. She goes off, she gets closer to finding the thing. She finds out there's another team hired by a different party looking for the same thing. That different party also tries to pay her off, to give them the thing instead. And she's like, sure, whatever, I don't care. I'll work for whoever. And then she finds out what she's getting, what she's being paid to go retrieve, is either a super weapon or just something, I don't know, MacGuffin plot device style. It's something that can turn the tide of this sort of war or whatever is going on. And whoever ends up with it will get the upper hand and become, you know, America versus Russia. We're both superpowers, but one will be, like, system dominant. And then the sort of ending decision she makes is, I'm going to show the native people how to do it. So now it's just like, you know, she basically starts a new nation of by basically saying, like, you know what? History. More like her story.
I mean, if
I high-fived myself.
If she's the war vet, too, then it would make sense that she, if she just came out of a long conflict, then she's like, well, not again.
There is no good or bad government, just the next one. That was me taking a drag of a cigarette.
Is a flat circle where we do archaeology.
Time is a pie chart. Okay.
Time is radiocarbon dated. Wait. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So now we have a sort of direction to go towards. We need three major plot devices, that third and last one being the ultimate thing itself that we're trying to retrieve. The first one being some sort of wayfinder or a map, and the second one being like a big compass. So basically what I'm going for is small compass leads us to a big compass, which points us to the exact spot of the third ultimate thing.
I just pulled off Eric's face and he's been Joseph Campbell under there the entire time. Okay, so what's our first thing? It's like, so we've got kind of Dr. Professorson, Dean of Space University.
Indeed.
Space University's Archaeology and Shiny Objects Department. Mm-hmm. Is like, yes, we don't ask you too many questions, Dr. Aphra. Your methods is perhaps better if your methods remain a touch mysterious to us. And they're like, moral ambiguity nodding. So it's like, we wanted to put you in touch with someone, and then somebody who's like, I don't know, he's like a space lizardy guy, and he's like, I fought for the space lizard army. Still not a huge fan of you guys. And he's like, how about a fan of this money? And she's like, space lizard money, awesome.
And her pupils turn into dollar signs. Cha-ching!
He says, go to the place and get the thing.
Yes.
And she's like, great, do you have any leads? And he's like, not a one, except this.
No. Here.
Right, so, and his, like, tip, his first little information is like, here's the contact who can help you figure it out. For those of you who can't see, which is all of you, Eric just pretended to put in a contact. Comedy gold right there. So what was the first thing that we have to do? Space Lizard Money Bags?
Space Lizard McMoney Bags?
Yes, holy. That's going to be his name. It's a family name.
Okay, so Space Lizard McMoney Bags. We are coming up with a list of characters. You know, we come up with character names during halftime.
We can't change that one.
Space Lizard McMoney Bags points us in the direction of either our love interest or Short Round.
Short Round's one of my favorite characters of all time.
Short Round was a war crime.
What if we just make it Short Round?
Short Round in space.
No, it's not even like Tall Square. It's just Short Round.
Short Round.
Hey, it's been a while. I'm not going to pretend to be Short Round because I don't want to edit that out.
Okay, no, yeah, that's, I don't want to do that either. There's no way that's not going to come off as racist.
Anyway, so do we meet partner or sidekick at first location?
I think it makes more sense to meet partner at first location.
Mm.
I was like, I don't know, and we could take either direction with this. It's old flames, or there's some sort of unspoken conflict.
Okay, cool. I, por qué no los dos?
Okay. I kind of like that.
It could just be Indiana Jones where they had a fling and then she got upset that she never called her back.
Okay.
Just leave it. It's that simple.
It's that simple.
Because it's quick, it's sassy, and we're already pretty late behind schedule.
Fair enough. And that puts us in another place. So we've got you're not the first person to come to me about this. I heard the Guardians of the Galaxy or Matthew McConaughey and the gang from Sahara just came through here and are also looking for the Holy Grail. I'm tired of saying MacGuffin.
Cool.
So what does that information lead to?
This is where we have to actually put in the work instead of just copying and pasting plot points from other movies and such. I think we should also meet Sidekick there. But basically, before we get on to the actual work, I just want to say, I want a robot sidekick. Like a BB-8, but okay. With a little more humanity to it.
Okay, yeah. So, I can't think of anything like that, but okay, I see what you're going for.
Some sort of a short, round robot.
So this item, or this person is going to sidekick / companion, is going to lead them to the big compass.
Yes.
Which will lead them to the big fist.
The thing.
Gold encrusted.
Okay. Yeah. Item. So, okay. Yeah. Hang on. I got that. It's, this, I think this makes sense. It's like, yeah, I've been out that ways. I've been to that planet. And remember, this is a universe littered with, relic technology that's like millennia ahead of anything that they have. It's right. Like, they got some cool spaceships and weapons and junk. And then there's just, like, god-like power lying around, which is why everyone's such big fans of these alien ruins. And it's like, look, there wasn't much on that planet. We found that robot and brought it back, because we couldn't stay out there forever.
Okay. Right. So...
We found this thing, and then we put some quarters into it, and then it's like, oh, it's a robot. It's a quirky, humanoid, small, short, round robot.
Okay, I love it. So Short Round is not just a robot that our partner owns, but
it's like the key to the big compass.
Yes, I love it. And borrowing more from the first Indiana Jones, Ark. Was that Ark of the Covenant?
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, yeah. Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark. We go to the first location with... Old Flame, sassy, and she's like, no, I'm not giving you the thing. Afra leaves, Old Flame gets ambushed by Nazis, and Afra comes back, saves her ass, and then she's like, yeah, I'm coming with you, because, they burned down my bar. But basically what happens is, Afra comes through, Old Flame is like, I refuse to tell you what the thing is, and hey, waiter bot, Short Round. Be careful with those drinks. And he's like, oh, yes, ma'am. And then Afra's like, I'll leave. Talk to Lizard McMoneybags on my communicator. And he's like, hey, what are those guys doing in the background? Are you hiring another team to do my job? And he's like, yes, Anton Sugar. And she comes back. And then they have a kerfuffle. Very cool Indiana Jones type fight. But in space. And then...
is this on a planet or are we in a space bar?
Ooh. Keep a pin in that. I will, but I gotta get my thought out. Is we fight off the Nazis, and then Old Flame is like, all right, I'll come with you. She's like, all right, let's go. And then she's like, no, wait, we need to bring Short Round. Short Round 8-8. And then she's like, why? Because he's actually an ancient robot. He is the small compass.
And then Afra goes, bet, let's do this.
Hell yeah.
I don't think I know how people in space talk.
No way. So.
It's always either TikTok lingo or, sailors from 300 years ago.
I think we're in a good spot. Mm-hmm. That's only the first plot point. We haven't. We usually get halfway through.
So yeah, we gotta hit the next one. Okay, so
we can do that after the break, because after the break is always way too short.
Okay. Does anybody want to say anything before we go?
What I mean, we can save it for after.
I'm sorry, I told you. No, face off,
we have time for like one or two.
I was thinking, would it be interesting for this other person to be someone on the other side of the war?
Yeah.
Like a soldier from somewhere.
I actually really like
kick
that.
Ass.
Is that this idea of it's like, so you you fought on the other side. We both made choices. It's like I got drafted, you volunteered.
Oh, snap.
To fight in a conflict that I don't care about.
Also that lesbian kissed.
Which is fine because it's space. No, look. Did you know that space is a lesbian?
Oh,
I've heard
secretly. I did.
Yeah.
Somehow, deep down.
Yeah.
Okay.
If anything, I just outed space, and that wasn't cool.
Okay.
Some of this.
I think this is a good spot. We'll decide second, third, maybe fourth or fifth major plot points after we come back from a short break, and also, of course, we'll decide on character names and the name of the movie.
Oh yeah. SAG-AFTRA. Sorry. You know, the people who are...
Yeah,
never,
it's not Dr. AFTRA.
I'm never going to make.
It's SAG-AFTRA.
Okay. Goodbye, guys.
We'll be right back.
Let's do a silly one.
And we're back. We came
only
up
on the outside.
We came up with a name for the movie, Dr. Delphi, because the main character's name is Dr. Delphi. Her old flame ex-girlfriend who is the pilot with the small compass. Maybe she's a pilot. Her name is Bex, which is short for Rebecca, but, you know, it sounds spacier that way. And
our lizard who hires her is still named Lizard McMoneybags because we can't think of alien names very well, and we're out of symbolism for today.
Yeah.
So We're just sticking with that. We haven't named the governments either. We leave that for our lore meeting after we sell this. And we've just got the space authoritarians and the galactic oligarchy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Matthew, you wanna...
And our robot man named Map, or M. We will call M
call
for the majority
M.
until it is revealed that he is the Map.
He is the Map.
M is short for Map.
Okay, and then we also have the B-teams, who are hired by the space authoritarians and the galactic oligarchy. Well, and yeah, we'll come up with names some
and
other time.
Shooting and like, beep, beep, beep.
Okay, so where do we go from?
We go to the magical, less important planet where M was originally found. The less magical, less important, but still magical and important planet. And we run into a team of hired guns there, because so that there's an obstacle because the plot demands it.
what's the final thing we're looking for?
13 secret herbs and spices. The 14th spice. The 30
posh spice.
The 32nd flavor.
Old spice. I'm cilantro.
Because I think if we have the main goal, I think we can work backwards a little bit. If we have,
looking for beige,
it might be. Oh, how about we just steal from Raiders of the Lost Ark even more? How we've got like the locals, which are like an ancient race who have been on the same planet as this sort of miscellaneous, ambiguously spiritually powered, where the oligarchy and the authoritarians are going to use it as a weapon.
Yeah.
So we're always talking about how powerful it is, but the shaman on the planet, and he's like, we've lived on this planet this whole time, and we haven't touched it for a reason. Please don't take it. And she's like, yeah, whatever, third world.
I actually kind of like that. I actually kind of like, I want these guys to be descendants of the people who invented this. It's like, we kind of recognized that all of this was dumb, and we decided to just walk into the woods and eat fruit like yeah. all of you secretly want.
Like all of you secretly want. Yeah, Bezos, you ever just, I know Bezos has a secret farm that he's gonna fuck off to someday. Yeah. Okay.
The work is finished.
Exactly.
That's it. It's like, alright, we invented a weapon that could, like, destroy the galaxy. I think we're done. We just want to be farmers, right? Right?
Everybody, beer, beer,
beer. We're in our
flop. So then it's like, and then at some point we lost the keys to the front door. So.
Oh, yeah. We get there, like, almost immediately. Oh, that would be pretty cool. Map. We go to the planet. Now, is the second bigger compass on the planet that map leads us to, or does map lead us to something that leads us to that? I know y'all followed along.
Yeah,
that was okay. Terrible.
Hey, take map back to the planet. Yeah, you know what? It seems like an unnecessary step to go to another planet, unless we really want to incorporate in some space travel.
Maybe we stop somewhere. How about that? Like, hey, we gotta refuel, or I gotta check in with Lizard McMoneybags.
Right, and that is how we learn. I gotta check in with Lizard. Yeah, or do we have to check in with Lizard? Because it's, I mean, what are we going to do? It's like, we're going to call, and then his phone wrist thing just comes on, and we see all these other people in the room, and it's like, you're cheating on me with other mercenaries?
Yeah, I think that first bit where she calls Lizard McMoneybags after failing with Bex, and then, like, something is clearly going on, but not outright saying, oh, I've hired another team just in case you mess up. No Country for Old Men style. Yeah, he's like, oh, just yeah, that sort of ambiguous, almost sounds like a threat kind of thing. And oh, how about she runs into them by doing her job too well, if that makes sense, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she had another lead she could have followed up on, but because Bex and Map panned out, you wouldn't expect her to, but she's like, I'm very thorough and I'm going to cover all my bases. And that's the lead that the B team working for the authoritarians
has been following.
Okay. Right. Hmm. So they hit up, I guess, okay, so great. So are we in, like, do we want to go from a space to a space station to a planet, or from a planet to a space station? I guess. Do we find Map and Bex on a planet or a space station? Because I think we should go to the other one.
Yeah. I'm thinking... I don't have any particular preference. What do you...
Well, I think if you find them on a space station, it's more of a... like, high throughput. A lot of people come through here, but also still kind of a... Common enough that it's reasonable that they would stop there and didn't just happen to land at this stop on this entire planet. Like this is a relatively well enough known space station that, like, oh, okay, we're and also I think, will we go spaceship, get map
to planet,
to planet, and then to another planet, or just to final planet?
It would be space station, talk to Bex, get map, go to another planet for that second lead, and then run into the authoritarians, B team, and then go to the ultimate planet where the rest of the movie's going to, like, the showdown is going to ultimately happen.
Could it be space station, moon, planet? Planet moon, so that it's close enough that it doesn't feel like you're going across galaxy?
I do like that. Like, we're on a... Bex runs the moon bar.
Yeah, there you go. Moon. Bar. I said, oh, moon. Like, I love the vibes.
Use the same words that I did.
Yeah, because it was like Alec came up with that, not you. And then I was like, oh, moon. I like moon. So I was like, quick, salvage that bar. Oh, my goodness. Where is my mind at?
With the pixies. I was weak.
Yes, it was.
I feel bad. Where is my mind? I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. Straight up, I'm a bit strange.
I think it could be like, moon has small compass that points to a point on the planet, big compass, or vice versa. If you want to go to the planet, meet the people, and the people know this thing that they put up on the moon, and it's just hanging out up there.
I got it. Map is gonna point us. The way map works. He's gonna point us to the planet. If we just land on the planet, we're gonna have to navigate all around it. To figure this out. If we go to this space station, then it'll be passing through the right location for us to get a much more accurate reading on where on the planet we're going to have to go. Hurdles through space. You know, space navigation crap. That doesn't have to make sense. It just has to sound like it makes sense.
Okay. Well, we really should be putting effort into... Because, like, people listening are like, yeah, cool, whatever. But, like, they want the plot to progress. What is the other lead that's, you know, that the B-team, Authoritarian's B-team is following?
Yeah, you're right. I'm undermining your idea actively by proposing that, aren't I?
Kind of.
Okay.
She is the leader of me. I'm sorry.
That was good.
Thank you.
I think that's a callback, though, to something they didn't hear.
Yeah.
Lead on a space station. What would be a lead on a space station?
So the people on the space station with them.
Lead, I feel like the lead is on the space station. We go to the moon bar, and we pick up these two people, and then we go to a space station where the second lead is.
Yeah, that can just be something like an informant, or someone who was a farmer on the, you know, the ultimate planet that we're going to end up on, but they, like, defected, and they're like, I want to move to the big city and become a capitalist.
Yeah.
So they're like, I'm going to sell this piece of information I know about the big super-duper weapon to whoever.
I heard there is a Drath Rakarian on Red Gresbo 6th Station.
There you go. And then they run into the B-team, and then there's...
beating the crap out of this guy, because they are more unethical.
Yeah, and then there's a little bit of a tussle, and it's sort of cut short by either Lizard McMoneybags is there, or, you know, someone lets slip, like, kill this... Lizard McMoneybags never said anything about lesbians.
And then she's like, this, arcane?
And there you go. We've got a reason for them to be like stop fighting, and then Lizard to be either be on a hologram comms thing on someone's wrist, or to actually be there to be like, "Hey, I told you, I have contingencies." And Bex is like, "You see, this is why I don't work with these people, because like we're just tools to them, and they don't respect anybody." And Delphi is like, "Yeah, whatever, $eyes."
And then you know, those guys, the B team, fights them, and they're like, all right. And hi, how are you? That's a Sahara reference. Those out there.
Nice.
It's not.
I thought it was a SpongeBob reference.
It was incredible.
Hi, how are you?
That one was. Okay. That's a good one too.
Yeah. Okay.
African War Zone, Ship of Death. There it is.
So we've got that's basically the first half wrapped up in a nice bow. Second half. What?
Never mind. Let's keep rolling.
So we go from space station to straight to planet, because we have Map, who is the small compass, and maybe that other defector from the planet. Maybe he bleeds out, maybe he comes along, who cares? Well, he's along for the ride for now.
he right now he's in a coma on their ship.
Sure.
They mm-hmm. saved him from the B-team of Matthew McConaughey, an actor whose name I forget.
Yes. And, ooh, maybe that defector alien, like, tells Bex, and no one else on the ship, but Bex tells Delphi, he's like, hey, I told another group of people who were hired by the oligarchy instead of the authoritarians, and I'm not telling them because I'm afraid they'll get mad and beat me up again, but you seem really nice. And she's like, is it okay if I tell my partner? And he's like, oh, I'm pretty homophobic.
I instantly became homophobic.
So that way we've got, no, maybe instead of telling Bex and being like, yeah, man, show him by, he's like, hey, Delphi, if you're really not much for allegiances, I told another team and they let it slip how much they were getting paid, which is more. And then Delphi's like, all right, I might do that because my character arc's not done yet. And then Bex has that one-on-one conversation like, you bitch, I just talked about, you know, fight, kiss. Okay, great. Now the first half is pretty soft. We get to the planet, and we've got the B-team from the Authoritarians, Bex, Map, Delphi, Alien, there.
And the C-team from... Will there be a C-team from the Oligarchs, or is it just the B-team from the Authoritarians?
I'm thinking the C-team should be introduced after Alien lets slip to Delphi, and then we introduce them once we get to the planet. And maybe that conversation between Bex and Delphi of her calling her a bitch happens after Delphi sits down with the C-team to, like, negotiate betraying the B-team.
I like that.
Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, back to world building, since we're making pretty steady progress on plot points. What is the planet like? Is it jungle? Is it Kashyyyk?
I kind of like Kashyyyk.
Yeah, that's what I was picturing. What
I mean, like, what kind of creatures inhabit this place? Like, creatures who are so advanced that they recognize, it's like, I don't need this stuff. I'm gonna go live in a tree. I got an IQ of 400. I just want to eat apples.
I was thinking, like, architecture and culture, sort of more Mesoamerican Mayans kind of thing. Mm. But what would, like, the alien race be like? Humanoid in shape, more or less, but feathers, fur,
scales. Long and lanky.
I kind of like feathers. Long, lanky people. No, let's just do long, lanky people.
Cool.
They're just the Kristaps
Porzingis.
We'll call them the long, lanky people.
The Porzingises. The Porzingai.
The Porzingai.
The tingy pingies.
Do not go in there. The technology will bring only pain, like Facebook.
No, don't unleash the power of the Zucker, the Zuckerzos. Zuckzos.
He's getting there, and it's just Mark Zuckerberg. They froze him.
No, it's don't like free the lizard man.
It's like he's been Revan meditating for thousands.
Okay.
That's weird. Oh, it's Darth Revan. It's Darth Revan. He's been meditating for 1,000 years, and while he was in there, he invented Facebook. And... okay.
Then he sued David Fincher for making a KOTOR movie about it.
Oh, no.
This is getting... Even for us, this tangent is horrible.
I'm sorry, my brother's at the cleaner. Okay. Anyway. We get there, and the shaman leader type is like, hey, we'll be happy to accommodate you, but we haven't heard of this thing. And that boy'd be telling lies. I don't like him, that alien that may or may not be in a coma. I don't care. But we're basically writing him off. He's an expat or whatever. What is that? Where you're, like, banished from your own country?
An exile? I mean, expat is when you
just leave.
Yeah.
So he's, like, an exile. We might get into some antics. There's
like
a lot of B-plot.
He's a crypto bro.
Yes, they're going to crypto land.
Fuck that Zoomer with you. There's a lot of room for, like, well, we kind of explore that with Bex catching Delphi, meeting with the C team. And the narrative could just straight up go away from Delphi, or maybe it follows Delphi and she rediscovers her humanity with the Tingy Pingies. Basically, I'm just imagining Milo in Atlantis exploring.
Yeah, is anything that we do not a ripoff of an obscure Disney film?
What if this is just an idea to get some juices flowing and perhaps spark something up? What if the the big weapon thing is like you have
the Zuck.
Yes.
You have the lanky Kristapses who they have they are internally like very pacifist. But in order to protect themselves, they said, okay, we're gonna make this big planetary like defense system thing, this big, I don't know, guns, some big means to defend our planet, but we're not gonna control it. We're gonna let people like MAP control it, and we're just gonna go about our business.
I like that.
Oh, MAP is like an ancient guardian.
Yeah, and yeah, and so they're like, we don't even remember who, like, well, or maybe they made it more recently than that, but it's like, we don't really interact with this thing. We made it so that we wouldn't have to make the decisions. And so, and so now it's like, the people are trying to convince, so now your space authority and your people are trying to get these people to give them the stuff, and they're like, hey man, that's not my... it's not up my alley anymore.
Yeah.
Or it's like we're very much against that. We're not going to give that to you. It's
yeah.
Like, but you know, I don't know.
I like that a lot.
I like that too. First of all, I feel like I've kind of like idealized the Tim Tam Lams too much. I don't think we've called them the same thing one time. I forgot Christoph's, what we started with.
Kristaps Porzingis, Tingus Pingus, Tingy Pingy, Kristaps.
I don't even
know.
Okay, yeah.
I just like the Kristaps.
The locals.
Yeah.
The locals.
The locals.
The tall locals.
Anyway,
I kind of got an idealized... I was kind of like... And they're super enlightened, and they just piss off from doing society to live in the woods. And then I'm like, yes, they did that. But they kind of set up a... they, before they decided to have a quiet night in... they put a claymore mine in front of the front door.
I like it. Okay, so, okay, from the, you know, the writings on the wall or whatever that the authoritarians and, or, well, Lizard McMoneybags sort of interprets this thing as a weapon, but it's 100% defense. It's just a giant shield. Is Map the weapon, or is he the key, or is... he just an AI that plays a role.
I don't know.
Also, Map is spelled with two P's.
Okay.
Or maybe not.
My pee-pee.
Yes. My pee-pee.
My pee-pee.
Okay, so I think it's always in this defensive mode, and it's like, and the gang can get in because they have Map. Gang can get onto the planet because they have that. They're not an invading force. They land. Which I think also would mean like the B and C team's ships might get shot down. They land, and they try to take Delphi and Bex's ship to get off the planet.
Unless that's like,
or you know what, I'm overcomplicating this.
Or if, go
ahead. But it's always in defense mode, and Map can weaponize the whole system. So it turns a planet into a gun.
If Map is like your, I have the voice key that lets us go through.
Yeah.
Then if the B and C teams were looking for that native who's, like, since defected or whatever. Maybe that native has been, I don't know, smuggle stuff on and off. Like, he's, like, he has, I don't know, he gets on and off some way, and so they're trying to...
Tape recorder.
Or
singing in the shower.
Yeah. Or something. So he has a way onto the planet. So they went to get him to try to get onto the planet, and Dr. Delphi went to get Matt, or went to find this other lead that was probably less plausible, or less, like...
not as neat.
Yeah. Not as easy.
Okay.
So we're on the planet.
So we're all, yeah.
To the Tim Tambalams.
And they're
foreign and weird.
I'm saying that because, like, old school Indiana Jones was... like, South America? What the fuck? You know, eat monkey brains.
These casual backward-ass locals.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's maybe not do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can make it really weird because...
Space
aliens. So there you have maybe Bex... or someone. I mean, I don't want Bex to seem... No, well, it's okay if Bex does always feel, like, out of her element for, like, the slapstick kind of absurdity humor part of it. Because that was what we did back in the day. And everybody knows that if you say that, you can't say anything problematic. Well, back in my day. Okay.
It's tradition. That makes it okay.
So what is the ultimate... the last... the showdown. What is the climax like?
Alright.
Yikes. The kind of call that Bex would make is, I see that we go into a weird little tomb, something or other, and I learned that map is the key to turning the shield into a gun. The shield moon into a gun moon.
Right. Okay. I like that.
So now her... it's a gun moon. Yeah. So her character philosophy would be like, I have to brain map. But we should establish a bit of a personal attachment. But now Bex is becoming the main character. Okay, well, that could be... That could be the Heart of Gold moment for Delphi, where Bex just can't do it, and so she tries to, like, hide the truth. And then, but then Delphi sort of just becomes, like, the martyr bad guy of, I'm going to dive on the grenade and brain map, and this girl... That might be it, the greater good over the personal interest. She's like... slowly been convincing Bex, like, hey, I'm not that bad, and yeah, maybe you should come over to the money side, not the dark side, but the money side. And then Delphi makes that decision, oh, I'm going to brain map, because and that can also come from a sort of selfish place of, I don't want Bex to have to make that choice.
Yeah, I actually kind of like that. That is like a character development and a change. There's still a like a strong selfish undercurrent there.
Yes.
It's like, I am better now, and I know what's best for you. I feel for like sure. That's way truer to life in a way of how people actually grow, is that when people grow, they are better, but they're also shitty in new ways.
That is very old school masculine vibes of, like, I'm gonna do what's best, and she's going to cry and, like, flail around and do that little sissy punch on my chest, but I'm gonna stand there stone-faced in the rain, and I'm like, it's like, I know, and then we'll hug because she knows what's best. She's just too feminine to see it.
I don't
believe that, but back in my day, no, I don't know.
I feel like that might be kind of the conclusion to this, and we set up for a trilogy. Why not? Why don't we always do
all? Hell
movies,
yeah!
All movies need sequels. That is That's not a bad decision at all. We haven't learned anything about that in the last million years of having movies. What was I saying? I don't know. I feel like this might be a... It's like, I don't forgive you situation. It's like, I shouldn't have... You don't get to be the one to shoot my dog.
Shit. Oh, damn, I'm sorry. Just the phrasing of, you don't get to be the one to shoot my dog, makes this much more real than braining a robot.
No, yeah. It's a pet. That's a beloved pet. Now, if you found out your pet could destroy the world, or, I don't know, kind of put this more on our scale, if you found out your pet could incinerate a piece of land the size of Colorado, you might have to put your pet down. If somebody else did it for you, I feel like there would be a lot of bitterness there.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Your dog. It's that line from Of Mice and Men, I shouldn't have let no stranger shoot my dog.
Oh, snap. I mean, that's a pretty great spot.
Yeah.
That's an excellent climax for the movie, because guaranteed, these are Indiana Jones type stuff going on. The sequel will have pretty much nothing to do with the first one. We don't need Bex.
In fact, it will actually occur before the first
one. We can have
Bex
again. We can have her again. We can do it without her.
Exactly. Oh, wow.
Depends
on how
much this movie launches her career forward.
We could come back to this and like put more movies into this kind of... And make more episodes, story tap episodes, out of Dr. Delphi, I mean.
Yeah. Well, we never did it with Guardians of Time.
That was bad. It was also... it was really fun to do, and it was really funny. But, God, that was messed up.
We didn't do it with Mecha Kai, either. Did we ever...
We didn't upload that episode yet.
Okay.
I'm waiting until we record part two, and then I'm going to release those back to back.
I'll scrape up Munoz. He's back in California. I gotta send him a microphone.
Yeah, word.
Okay, but so how do we? What is our denouement? There's
our denouement is. I mean, it's kind of like episodic movies. End where we start. Dr. Delphi just goes back to.
All right. The B team and the C team. They die in an explosion.
Sure.
Because who cares about them, really? We never named them.
Yeah.
We never established how many people there were.
So and Lizard McMoneybags comes back with a new job after the denouement. We have to come up with the denouement where everybody ends up. But Lizard McMoneybags is like, I have another job for you. And she's like, I literally smoked your last team. And he's like, business is business.
I don't know... I feel like the final question there is, like, does she accept that after all of this? And, like, sort of this understanding that these actions have consequences and you can't necessarily just wave your hand over it and say, ha-ha, we didn't get this artifact from In the Shadow of War Crimes. What are you talking about?
Damn. I mean, usually what we go for is that happy medium between, yes, this does have a lot more symbolism and deeper meanings, but also it's a mainstream blockbuster that can make $1 billion. But I'm thinking this time we just sort of wave our hand and be like, yeah.
Obfuscate the war crimes.
Yeah, this is really messed up. But it's Indiana Jones. We're not going to extrapolate the actions of the protagonist as what we believe to be the moral high ground or whatever, you know?
Okay. I mean, you know, Indiana Jones is pretty morally upright. He's a hero.
Yeah, the heart of gold!
Yeah, we got rid of... I mean, the thing is, we made two governments that were equally crappy, but not, like, super evil.
Yeah.
We started out... I'm sorry, I know we said we were going to give you some space fascists, but it didn't quite come together.
Yeah.
Space fascists, which you can just hate, but it didn't come together. We saw more treasure hunting than fighting bad guys. So you think... she takes the job?
Maybe.
Or is it left open and like the offer stands?
It doesn't have to be from Lizard McMoneybags, but it can be like, hey, a new job. And then she's like, wink.
Professor McDoctor Professor.
Yeah.
He says, like, I hear you have a, we have another offer for you. And she's like, I don't know how much, I don't think I want to do that anymore.
She's like, it pays a lot. Dollar sign eyes.
How much is a lot?
Ooh. So Denouement is sort of just that, really.
Yeah.
Like a pretty long scene of her, like, going back to her apartment, taking a hot shower and pouring herself a drink, and then getting that call.
Hmm. It's a living. It works.
I like it.
It works as this character that develops, but is still the same person.
All right.
Yeah, I really like that idea of like, yeah, man, look at all these big events happen, but she's still just going.
Yeah.
She's gonna go back at it.
It's like, I learned a lot, but I gotta eat.
Okay. Nice. All right. Yeah, it turned out to be a lot more Indiana Jones than Dr. Aphra. It's Indiana Jones in space. It's not Dr. Aphra in space. She was a lesbian.
It's not the Among Us. It's not Among Us the movie.
Yo, okay.
It's the thing in space.
Among Us the movie was.
I thought it was the thing in space.
It is the thing in space, but it's Among Us. I mean, Among Us is the thing in space.
It's different. It is.
It is different. Go listen to that episode. That's a good episode.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm satisfied. I think this story's potential is tapped.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I agree.
All right. The end.
The end.
The end.
The end.
The end. Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, make sure to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. It helps a ton. Also, make sure to check out the podcast Story Break by Rocket Jump. It's basically what you just listened to, but more professional. And thanks again.